Good afternoon. So I'm going to talk today about the role that unions and labor, I'll focus a lot on SEIU since that's where I am and what I know, played in the passage and is playing in the implementation of health reform. And I want to start by saying, you know, when we people talk and first think about social determinants of health, I think there's often an instinct to step away from the healthcare system itself, which is not a bad instinct because there are so many things that do impact health. And if we can keep people healthy and make people healthy before they even need to access the healthcare system, in many ways that is an ideal system. Unfortunately, we're not at an ideal system. And it's, you know, there's a lot of information about, you know, we have a lot of knowledge about the role that access to health care, both through insurance, but also access to quality care, has on people's health outcomes. And there really are connections also between the same social determinants that, you know, impact access to food, access to a clean and healthy environment, access to the, you know, a work schedule that allows exercise. A lot of those correlate also with access to health insurance. You know, in 2009, 14% of whites were uninsured compared to 22% of blacks and almost 34% of Hispanics in the United States. And non-U.S. citizens who reside in the U.S. are three times more likely to be uninsured than U.S.-born citizens. And non-U.S.-born citizens are also have higher uninsured rates. And some of these issues are hopefully going to be addressed through health reform. In Massachusetts, they've seen there's almost no actual racial disparities in access to health insurance now. And the health reform law, the Affordable Care Act, while it doesn't allow recent immigrants to access Medicaid, it does allow recent immigrants to access recent documented immigrants to access subsidies through the health insurance exchanges. So we'll see some of those disparities reduced. And the disparities aren't only in access to health insurance, but can be in access to health care. If you look at the issues of how income interacts with access to real health care, obviously the wealthier someone is, the more they're able to afford cost sharings if they do have health insurance. The more they may be able to afford to go out of network if there's no adequate or high quality providers in their network. Or even to go to a healthcare provider that's out of state or just not near their place of home or place of business if they don't have sick days. So I'm going to talk specifically about, you know, how unions are trying to work to improve access to quality care through the passage and implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And I'm going to start by answering the question, which is why? Why is health reform so important to labor? And then I'm going to go on to give an overview of what some of the role SEIU played in passage, as well as what SEIU and other labor unions are doing to work to implement health reform. So why is health reform so important to unions? You know, one of the social determinants to access of healthcare is union membership. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in March 2009, 78% of union workers had health insurance through their employer compared to only 51% of non-union workers. And it's getting harder and harder for unions to be able to maintain health insurance for their members. Uninsured workers are more likely to be employed in wholesale, retail, trade, and service industries, which now account for 60% of employment. And they're areas that a lot of unions, including SEIU, are actively organizing. And I can tell you from my own experience when I was providing health benefits to our members, it's not easy to win health insurance for low-wage workers. When SEIU organized janitors in Houston, Texas, they weren't able to get health insurance until the third year of the contract. That was so they could increase salaries and put all the money to increase the salary of workers who were earning minimum wage. And when they did get money for health care, it was $185 per month per employee. So in Houston, we were able to work with the Baylor College of Medicine to create a community health center to provide free primary care to all of the members who enrolled in health insurance. But it still leaves those members at high risk if they have very high cost conditions because they do have to be limited benefits if we want them to have an affordable premium split. And that model isn't possible in every area. Also, as the number of uninsured is rising, it's more difficult to gain benefits for newly organized workers, and it's also more difficult to maintain the level of coverage that we hope to have. Union workers currently pay a smaller percentage of the premium for family coverage than non-union workers pay, but we're seeing that getting harder and harder to maintain as the cost of health premiums increase, and we see costs shifting to employees. In 2005, the average deductible for workers was $266. By 2009, that was $528. And we know that for people particularly low income, that deductible and the level of co-pays and co-insurance can determine whether people actually get access health care or not, and it can determine whether people with chronic conditions are able to take care of those chronic conditions. So more and more money at the bargaining table is going towards health benefits, and that leaves less and less money for wages and retirement security, and it makes it even harder to get health and benefits for newly organized workers. Basically, as long as health care costs keep increasing, as long as the insured are paying for the uninsured through higher premiums, what we call sometimes a hidden tax on health insurance, and as long as many employers have no repercussions for providing inadequate or no health benefits, then unions will be spending extraordinary resources bargaining and protecting our members' health benefits. And in the end, the workers lose. And that's really why it's so important for unions and to be fighting for health reform and ensure access by all Americans. But there's also an interest by many unions, including SEIU, that goes beyond actual access to health insurance. As the largest healthcare union in the country with 1.1 million direct care workers, SEIU also represents the voice of healthcare workers in health reform. Our members see the impact of poor access to care when they're treating people who are on dialysis because they weren't able to afford to take care of their diabetes, when they're seeing patients in the emergency room who are getting their primary care in the emergency room, children with asthma who aren't able to control that medication. Basically, people who delay care until the condition becomes life-threatening. That's the condition many healthcare workers, including our members, see people coming to. And it's something that our members don't want. They want to see their clients getting the best care possible. And it's also important to our members that the system they work in is well-funded so that they can adequately do their jobs. So what was the role that SEIU played in the passage of health care reform? You know, this is something I could probably talk on and on, listing everything, which wouldn't be extremely exciting to people. But I want to give a brief overview of the type of work and what SEIU's campaign was. You know, the role of SEIU in health reform started well before even the idea of Obama as president. In 2000, SEIU launched the Americans for Healthcare campaign, which was a campaign based in the states working to pass health reform state by state. And that was a program that was really able to have SEIU start building grassroots networks based on creating health reform and universal access, and began to mobilize our member base around the importance of universal access. During the 2008 primaries, SEIU told presidential candidates that we would not endorse any presidential candidate who did not have a plan to provide universal coverage. And as a result, every major Democratic candidate had a plan to provide universal coverage, and they may have varied in their policies, and they may have varied in what we considered a great plan or not, but those plans were there. And then also in 2008 at the SEIU annual, at their convention, SEIU members voted to start the Justice for All campaign, which was a multi-issue campaign, but health reform was one major aspect of it. And it was a multi-pronged campaign to pass national health reform was part of that plan. And there were huge increases in resources. There were staff moved to health to working directly in health reform who weren't previously working on it. And there was a huge effort to mobilize our members around the country. And as part of the campaign, SEIU had a national bus tour that traveled the country, mobilizing our members. We had gathering of medical residents in Washington, D.C., in what we were calling our Scrubs events. We had multiple actions against the insurance companies. And on one congressional call-in day, we had 300,000 members call their member of Congress and urge the passage of health reform. And we worked along with other members in the labor community to build public support, to keep health reform in the public eye, and to actively shape the health policy. So SEIU's main goals for the health reform legislation, I'm going to sort of give a brief overview of what those were. They were to hold insurance companies accountable, to guarantee affordable, meaningful benefits, to have competition with the choice of private and public plans, shared responsibility among employers, individuals, and government, to slow the growth of the cost of healthcare, to have fair financing for coverage, workforce investments, home and community-based care, and to address disparities in quality and prevention. We admit, and no, we weren't successful in all of those goals. For example, there was no public plan, although there is a significant amount of the population who's currently uninsured who will be getting coverage through Medicaid. But there wasn't a public plan on the exchanges. You know, there are questions. Will the exchanges be affordable and meaningful? And most likely it will vary state by state as so much of this moves forward in state implementation. But when the time came, SEIU and many other unions came together, we mobilized our bases to make sure the Affordable Care Act passed, to make sure we had this moment that was the moment to get health reform passed. And once the law passed, we've shifted now to implementation on both the federal and state level. You know, and as I talk about implementation this week in early November, you know, we can't help but say there's an addition to the implementation work, which is protection, that a lot of unions are going to be very active to work to protect this law as it's attacked in the federal level, and we do know that there are going to be efforts to repeal. We don't believe at least a full repeal or will be successful, but we know there'll be efforts, and it will be important to go back and mobilize the bases to pass, to mobilize those bases to protect. And we also know that, you know, our attorneys are working with attorneys of other organizations to protect the law in the courts as well. So we will be moving forward in that as well as working for actual implementation of the law. So the first, you know, role that labor's playing is representing consumers, you know, both our members' families, and the experience we have with working families. Multiple unions, including SEIU, the AFL is involved, AFSCME is involved, are working with a group of consumer advocacy organizations and the consumer representatives of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners to impact primarily the federal policy and the work that the NAIC is coming out with. And this is an unofficial coalition. It's a work group that's really come together to represent the voices of consumers. This group is focusing most heavily on ensuring the federal regulations and the recommendations of the NAIC represent consumer interests. We drafted comments on the grandfathering regulations that were signed by 17 organizations, including SEIU. There have also been comments drafted by this group on the preventative care benefits, on the exchange comments. These organizations have all worked together to mobilize their own constituents in the states to reach out to the state insurance commissioners to make sure the work the NAIC is doing represents consumers. So much of this work is happening in an organization, I think a lot of people, a lot of Americans didn't realize was out there. And a lot of the effort was seen when they recently came out with their recommendations on the medical loss ratio, and the consumer groups and labor were actively making sure that those recommendations didn't get watered down. And these groups are also working to make sure that there is a consumer voice in talking to the federal administration, talking to the Department of Labor, talking to the new Office of Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight at HHS, basically making sure there's a consumer voice to balance the very loud voice of the insurance companies, of the employers that they're hearing from, that are really trying to get interpretations of the law that strictly water it down. And then labor's also working actively on the state level, where we're really seeing a huge amount of this implementation is going to take place. So unions are working very closely with their the local unions, with state-based organizations to impact the state legislation and policy. Many advisory boards and commissions that have opened around the states do have labor representatives. There are commissions working on planning the exchanges, their workforce commission. And so all of this work is really sort of on the microcosm. You have the national, and that it's getting repeated in 50 states. And it's going to be very different as it plays out in different states. There'll be some states like California that got exchange legislation out very quickly and may now actually work to improve that legislation after the recent elections. There are other states where the work to implementation may actually be seen as trying to hold things back if we think an exchange would really be a lot worse than what the federal exchange would be. So it will really be working to see how can state-level implementation provide the best access to care for consumers. But the work isn't limited to private insurance provisions. SEIU and other unions are also working really hard on the workforce and quality provisions on the state on the federal and state level. SEIU is working in partnership with employers and consumers through groups such as the Partnership for Quality Care, the Campaign for Better Care, and the Consumer Purchaser Disclosure Project. And these groups are all trying to really provide a voice that tries to get better quality of care through federal regulations for consumers, but also while making sure it's something that works for healthcare providers so that it actually can be successful. We have local leaders on state-level workforce commissions. We're looking into how accountable care organizations can be used to provide better care. Perhaps they can be used to strengthen safety net providers who serve underserved populations. Perhaps they can be used to better coordinate care between hospitals and long-term care services, or even between the physician and the long-term care services. Something, as we've had some of these conversations come out, you know, I heard a geriatric specialist talk about how a lot of geriatric specialists don't even know if their patient has a home care provider that they're getting covered through Medicaid. Whereas if we can somehow, through some of this coordination of care that's going to be pushed through, coordinate that work, you know, SEIU may be able to strengthen the work of the home care providers we represent, but we may also be able to provide better care to people whose doctors are communicating with all of their providers. And we're working to promote team-based care and access to workforce training grants so that our training funds can train direct care workers to move up the career ladder to help address the shortage in the healthcare workforce. And we're looking for ways to assist in the coordination of care. Basically, if it's in the Affordable Care Act, labor is probably working on it in some way as we move forward. And the whole goal, primarily, as we said, is to expand and improve the quality of care people provide.